right, we ready for our last session? I wonder how many emails Alex is going to get in his inbox. Mentor me. That was pretty dangerous telling us all that, you know. 5-star. All right, Alex, talk to us.
Okay. I only mentor men. That's the rule my wife has imposed. And it's a good rule, actually. Okay. Because mentoring can be very intimate. In this session, all right, so you have identified the distraction issue, and you have identified the nature of the issue, whether it is structural, process, or people, or a combination thereof. What we want you to do in your respective groups is to brainstorm on a solution. What do you propose? What ideas will you propose that are of similar nature? In other words, if you think part of it is structural, what exactly is the structural issue and what new structure do you recommend? If it's process, how is the existing process and how do you think the process should be modified? If it's a people issue, is it, by the way, a vacancy is not a people issue. A vacancy is a structural issue. Okay? A people issue is leadership, is, why can't they give us enough time? Okay? Do the leaders think, well, we're complimented. They think we're supermen and we can do this in 3 days when we really need 2 weeks. Now, there might be a structural issue that could emanate from you guys. Have you communicated? Have you made a list of activities and how much time they take? It's like in a purchasing department. These are the items we purchase, and this is the purchase lead time. So, users, when you want us to purchase something, take recognition of the purchase lead time. So, yes, sir. Dexter. Mike. Go.
I don't know whether to call you pastor. Mr. Castillo.
Alex is okay.
Sir Alex, in our case, we do have a menu. We tell them 3 weeks for a video, 5 days for a graphic design, a day for text blast, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just that I don't know if it's a burden. We feel that, especially for us, we feel the heart of our pastor. And I'm not about to... I'm sorry to say this, I'm not about to fail my pastor.
Oh, I didn't tell you to fail your pastor. What you could do is every time the prescribed lead time is not met, you just give the feedback.
I can't.
Why not?
I'm afraid.
That's idolatry. No, really. Really.
Pastor, is that it? I can do it? No.
It is idolatry.
All right.
You know, I mean, you see, I know the dynamics, okay? Because I was a senior pastor.
Yes.
Now, ideally, the senior pastors will all have the grace and wisdom to say, look, give me feedback, okay? And actually mean it. I used to say that. When people gave me feedback, I got mad. But if they don't, you got to give them feedback. And believe me, they will appreciate it.
Actually, they do know. I'm sorry. They actually do know that we're tight with schedules, but we all feel that it's something that we need to do, and it's really when it's crunch time, we really crunch it really.
My suggestion, every quarter, develop an issue list and keep feeding it back. Yeah. Lynn.
Hello?
Oh. Just you get electrocuted.
Oh, okay. I'll just ground myself. Yeah. I just to tag on to what Dexter was saying, I think especially for the people in this room, it's also important to understand that it's like you were saying. I mean, these people aren't gods. Yes, they are pastors, and yes, we love them, and yes, we respect them. But I think sometimes it's a pressure you put on yourself that that person would not knowingly put on you, because it's a, I've worked with Every Nation for 12 years, and I used to work for Rice Brooks. And in the beginning, I did think I had to say yes to everything. But then Christo and I were talking about that earlier with the issue of, you know, you're always getting assigned things because they know you'll do it. It's the same thing. Like at one point, I'd get calls at 1 o'clock in the morning and say, I need this done now for tomorrow. And I'd say, okay, and I'd do it. And then after a while, I realized that sometimes, you know, like the difference to me is you have to learn the wisdom of when it's okay to say no and when they're really counting on you and you have to pull through. And so, because we had an attitude there that, you know, like no is just not an answer.
It's
just
unspiritual.
You just make it happen. That's, you know, that's our life of faith. We make it happen regardless of what. And, But the difference, you know, there's a big difference between, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor, I can't give you a PowerPoint so you won't be able to preach tomorrow, versus, no, I can't do a text blast to, you know, 50,000 people in 3 hours, you know, which is not going to cause the world to fall apart. And, you know, there were some requests that came, especially when they came last minute or when there's, like you said, clearly defined parameters and they're not falling within that. And I'd get a call and say, I need you to do this. And I would say, I'm sorry, that's not possible. And he'd say, okay. I mean, it was like, you know, the world didn't come to an end. Yeah. Galaxies didn't come crashing down. And, but, you know, I mean, Pastor Rice at that time was the president of Every Nation. And if I said something couldn't be done, he just said, okay. It's, you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, the hammer's going to come down on your head. And I think that's something that, you know, people in this room have to realize is that our pastors are not ogres, and you know, and they're reasonable human beings. And if you tell them, "I'm sorry, this cannot be done," they or you say, "I'm sorry, I can't do this, but we can. This is what we can deliver in that amount of time." They're reasonable people. They'll understand and say, "Oh, okay." And then it also provides them feedback and helps them to understand that, okay, in the future, you know, had you given me 7 days, I could have produced
this.
No,
really, this. because feedback from you guys will be precious.
Yes.
Okay? And sometimes leaders inadvertently project the idea that it must be done, otherwise the whole world collapses, inadvertently. Because pastors are a passionate lot, and they're filled with the Spirit and all that. But sometimes feedback from people will help them, actually. Rather than suffer, okay, it will help them. If you need to do the feedback monthly, in a, Pastor, can we have half an hour with you? We have some issues. That'll scare him to death and sober him up. And he will realize, oh my goodness, have I been doing that to you guys? You know, I'm glad you told me, kind of thing. Honestly. Carlos.
I was going to give a similar anecdote. When I first came on board and started working with Pastor Steve and Pastor Joey, Pastor Steve sat me down, and this is one of the things I really appreciate about the leadership that they've exemplified. Pastor Joey and Pastor Steve were both in front of me, and they both said, Carlos, we need you to understand that at certain times in our conversations, we will give ideas that sound really, really good. And you may feel like we told you to do something because of how we say things. It sounds like it is the next big thing, or this is the mandate from God, you know. And Pastor Steve looked me in the eye and said, I need you to know when we're just thinking out loud and when we're asking you to do something. And that was very helpful for me, because coming on board, I wanted to just do whatever needed to be done. And so, and in times, he said, in times when you're not clear, ask. And then he said, there's a respectful way to say no to your boss, because we've asked you to do something else, and then halfway through the week, we're asking you to do something else beyond that something else. There's a way to respectfully present the case that you have in front of you. Normally, we don't let them know that we're working on 4 other things that they've asked. And they just forget because they're moving on. You know, they think it's getting done or it is done. They don't realize it took 8 days to make that happen or things. So Pastor Steve was very good. He would sit me down in my office and he would go, Carlos, I need this. Then he would stop and he'd go, now I don't know what else you're working on. This isn't as big a priority. So if you have the time, make this happen. But if it's going to conflict with other things, it can wait. And you know, I really appreciate him consciously doing that. But the other side of it is sometimes he doesn't think of that as well. He goes, approach me and say, Pastor Steve, right now I have 3 things that you've asked me to do. Which one is most important? And he said, it's not, you're not saying no to me. You're saying I'm going to do what you're asking, but you prioritize it for me. And it was a very good setup. He really helped me a lot. So I'm going, which of these things, Pastor? And then there are days, but it's not going to be regular. There are days, Carlos, all 3 need to get done. And then in which case, we just move heaven and earth. But that's not my regular week. You know, there will be moments where it's EN 2010 and you are here from 7 in the morning to 2 a.m. and then come back at 6. You know, there are days that will be like that. But the general work life isn't like that. So,
okay. 10 minutes. What solutions do you propose to the issue you have identified? And similar nature solutions. And then we'll have a 1-minute presentation from each group. All right. Time. Who wants to go first? What issue are you addressing and what solutions do you propose? Where's the mic? Okay.
Okay, by default. We decided on tackling number 7, issue number 7, which is unaddressed key structural process or people. We realized that there's a tendency to let certain issues fester, allowing it more time than it should to survive in the organization. So we started off by recognizing that we don't have a formal structure or process to identify what these issues are. It's like just a general feeling that there's something wrong. But until we identify it and state that this is an issue, it's just, you know, words around, you know, discussions in the canteen or stuff like that. That's all it is. So here's how we propose to identify what the issues are. And then from there, take it to the next step, which is proposed here, which is addressing it correctly. Improve the communication lines across departments and ministries for greater coordination and feedback. I think we're realizing just general getting updates of people's plans and getting feedback on how things are on their side of the world will help us be able to identify that there are certain issues that need to be addressed. And then from there, agree on which issues need to be prioritized, because obviously there will always be a lot of issues, but tackling specific ones that will make the most impact for this season. And then number 3, decide on who will be responsible to address the issue, and then empower that individual to propose solutions for the group as it relates to the issue. So I think more and more we're realizing a lot of the we gave examples. I think finance had a good one, and Myla's team on special projects had examples where the setup is actually clear, the processes are clear, the system's best practice, but it's within HR. It's within finance, or it's within operations. It's when it needs to be implemented in another department or in a local church that it bogs down, because the expertise is here, and then the communication and the coordination, it's like it's given over, and then the other team's like unprepared to implement. So what's happening now is more a partnership where we're raising up the local church or the department to be able to accommodate the best practice and make it happen, and at the same time, you know, give them clearly these are the expected work from your side of the world. So with special projects, for example, if we're going to build your center, there needs to be somebody from your side of the world owning that renovation project as well. So I think moving forward, it's first being able to identify with each other. So talking together and saying, this is an issue for us, and then agreeing on it. That, that'll help us.
So. Okay. Can I add? Talking about it is one thing. Documenting it is what captures it. Okay. And in the corporate world, we have a monthly issues report. Okay. And what it is, it's a list of key issues and concerns. So after you talk with the people, you must impose upon yourself, I suggest you impose upon yourself releasing a monthly issues report, key issues and concerns. Okay? And you just disseminate it to everybody so people know what issues are percolating. Okay? Now, when the issue is resolved, okay, you document it. Okay? You document the resolution of an issue. So that, and then you publish that, so that the wisdom does not get lost in one department, but it is disseminated into the system. In fact, you can have a website on issues and issue resolution, so people just can log on to see if the issue has been resolved at some point in time in some other area. You have a library of wisdom. Okay.
Real quick, on that note, just so everybody knows, communication and IT are working together to create that setup already. So,
right. It's a solutions website. Yeah.
Who's represent this group?
Okay. No, they didn't want to do it. Okay, our solution. Thanks. We decided to touch on both issues because they're related with each other. So the first one is lack of clearly defined roles. So our solution is to revisit the current job descriptions that we have.
There are job descriptions.
There are job descriptions. There's just
Hallelujah.
A lot. There are, naman.
Okay.
Revisit that and sit down with our boss and talk about what we need to prioritize. I mean, okay, this is what we do, and this is what we're expected to do, and this is what we actually do. Okay. And so that they see, okay. So they know, this isn't really actually supposed to be you, things like that.
Very good.
That gets cleared, as well as we identify the what. Okay, what are you expected to do? Or who should we delegate the others to? Okay. And then what you mentioned about maybe we have to create another job for that. Because if we sit down and really talk about it, then maybe there is a need for another job. And then the other 20, we give to others, like the other 20%. And in the same time, about the lack of mentoring and coaching, we need to deliberately, we have to have deliberate functional coaching. For us, on our part, so that we could provide opportunities for other people as well, so that they could step up, number one, and give them full support. When we coach people, we don't, because sometimes we just coach and then we just let them be. But we also have to give them opportunity to function in the areas that we're coaching them in, as well as provide resources and room for them to spread their wings.
Okay.
And then when they do, and basically set them up for a win, so that when they do succeed, give them the credit to do
it. On job creation, before you do that, you must clearly establish that everyone else is doing their jobs right. We are not creating a new job as a crutch for inefficiencies on people who are supposed to, you understand? So deadly solutions. When you create a new job, make sure you're not creating it as a crutch for someone who's supposed to do it, but is not doing it.
Very good.
Okay?
Great point.
Very good.
All right, this group.
For we zeroed in on the structural issues for the job descriptions, and what we were beginning to realize the more we discussed in the aspect of the worship services is that the case in point is what's existing now is very contextualized per local church. Like the difference between the lead pastor, the worship services coordinator, and you have volunteer like ministry heads or volunteer leaders. So it goes in a blur. And we were able to actually realize that there are some three key issues in worship services alone for volunteer management. There's a discipleship component. Who's taking care of making sure everybody's discipled, they're attending Victory Group, especially that in the commitment form, we tell them to, I commit to a Victory Group. Now they all signed up. Where's my Victory Group? And then the second is there's an administrative side. This is the weekly scheduling of the volunteers. And the pastoral side, if there's conflict management, there are morality, or bigger issues, spiritual issues, who takes care? Okay. In different churches, it's different people, or sometimes too many people are handling it. So the concern is if we could propose to revisit and differentiate the description of the lead pastor, the worship services coordinator, and then your volunteer leaders eventually. To make it clear. But the challenge is to make it replicable to all churches and in proportion to the growth. Because that's where you find most of the differences. And then when we get to solve that, revisit the organizational chart, then we can actually determine a good workflow in terms of weeks, the deliverables per week, the key issues, who addresses them. And we know who gets the immediate direction from the senior pastor. Is it the worship services, the lead pastor, or is it all of them? And then how do we cascade the information down the line? And from there, we can think of how can we equip these people to be more effective in those three areas.
Very good. Thank you. Again, more and more documentation. And then, for example, if you do job descriptions, you could have a website of job descriptions so that and titles. You know, you could standardize titles. So if other churches want to reference, other Victory churches want to reference, they could log on and find out what that job is supposed to do.
Evelyn. Our group decided to tackle the issue of mentoring.
Jepay.
Yes. Alex will be sending you emails to thank you for solution number one of finding external opportunities for mentoring. And then after that, we were all in agreement about peer mentoring. And then discussing also the putting in place the performance appraisal even for our volunteers such that feedback can be facilitated. And then we also made a discussion on writing down what would be the desired output from a mentoring opportunity. And then we have a few of grandfather stories in our group here. So one of the things that they said about mentoring is that they would like to create the opportunity for them to mentor other people. So to be deliberate about it, to find opportunities to mentor people in their team. And then this is added work for Jen and Giselle, I think. Because Pam was sharing that in her old office, it's like our coaching 101 that we do right now. But there's a roster of people that could be mentored for, let's say, administrative skills, kids ministry, or for finance and all that. And then there's a brief description like admin staff of mother of five or like this. So. And then it was the steering committee or HR or VMA who can do the matching to narrow down the opportunities for mentoring. That was also discussed as a possibility. And making staff development within our team more deliberate. Right now, we have every month when we have our staff meeting, we all break out into different teams. But this time, making it more deliberate, wherein the things we've learned, we cascade it to the team and then possibly invite also Alex and our other speakers to share with our team what we have been learning. And then I guess that's it for our team.
What you said, I'm picking up that, you know, it's one thing is who will mentor me. Another is who do I want to mentor? Okay, and if you are a mentor, you must take the initiative. It's just like who do I want to disciple? Okay. And mentoring is a two-way street. If I say, can I mentor Carlos? Carlos, can I mentor you? But Carlos does not want to be mentored by me. I can't. It's a two-way street. But what you're saying is very good. It's one thing to look for a mentor for me. The other thing is, who do I want to mentor? Okay? All right. Good.
Liar.
What?
Okay. Go ahead. We'll accept JJ.
Thank you.
I think I pulled something out of his box.
Yes, you withdrew. Yeah, okay.
Okay, just briefly about mentoring before we go to the. We've decided that we agree with Alex that some things that just cannot be solved with a cookie cutter solution. That some things call for personal initiative, I guess mentoring is. And that's if we're asking for structure, I guess this is a good enough structure. The three steps to hopefully getting a mentor. Our main issue is the preaching series, the creative stuff, the posters and the videos for the preaching series. In defense of Dexter, Dexter can say he bears the weight of producing the bumper videos for all of Metro Manila. I when I am introduced as video supervisor for Every Nation, I actually get the credit for what Dexter does. It's a thankless job for Dexter. And we had to. That's true also. We had the benefit of a consultant here. See, Alex was here when we were talking, and his suggestion, we agree with it, is to map out the process, the production process. That's it. No, and communicate this upwards. And make it clear that when the process is compromised, we will do our best to compensate. But the more it's compromised, the greater the risk of failure. Of course, let's just make that clear. There is a tendency, it's probably inadvertent, that the creative people are excluded, typically until a few days before Sunday, before they could And I guess the outcry from the is the things have changed. I guess traditionally it's just the pastors preaching the message, but things have changed. We've become called upon to communicate as well as the pastor. And I guess there's a need for, we don't know how this could be done yet. We have a few ideas, but for us to be involved earlier. So if we have, we're left with 5 days to actually execute the video or the, if we had been involved earlier, we've had a lot of time to think about it and to come up with more ideas. And something must be done about that. I guess it merits a really long 2-3 hour meeting. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, JJ.
All right. We're going to tackle number 4, lack of clear mission, career paths, and mission career planning. We're going to look at, starting from 4 East, there's really a clear discipleship path, but as far as, from after you become a Victory Group leader, and now we have Victory discipleship coaches, after that it's kind of fuzzy, all right? So we need, first of all, we need with this, there's a lot of different issues that come out. Like we need more before the campus, before the ministry schools. What's next? So, and then from there, there's the job descriptions. There needs to be a clear way of evaluating an appraisal of our ministers and so on. Also, there needs to be from there. There's going to be training and mentoring. And there needs to be some kind of leeway to get them from either a campus missionary to become a missionary or vice versa, or even into the management team, because they're wired that way that they can make that jump from whatever. Or I say right now it seems like campus missionary, the career path is to become a lead pastor or discipleship pastor or but that's not necessarily the case at times. So from there, there's going to be training, mentoring, and with all those, the appraisal and all that stuff, we can know who to promote, and we have a better knowledge of, with the career path, we will have a better knowledge of who we have, and it's not subjective, it's more. So those things, and then there's going to be, of course, a committee that will make the path and all that stuff, so decide that, so that would be like apostolic side and then management side or whatever. That's about it. So it kind of opened up a lot of issues that we do need
to. It's a big issue.
Yeah, it's a big issue.
It's a big leadership issue, okay? In the corporate world, it's a lot easier, okay? I mean, let's take marketing in Del Monte, brand assistant, assistant brand manager, group product manager, senior product manager, group product manager, marketing director. It's because they're traditional jobs. You know, in church, it's more challenging, and the leadership has really sit down and say, what do we want to do with our people? Okay, and how do we stair step them? I mean, there's a full-time pastor track. There's a I love God, but I don't want to be a pastor track. you know what I mean? And if there are people in church who are like this, if we do not structure a career, we lose them. See, we lose them. Now, having said that, there is a bottom-up component, and this is that component. If you were asked, if I was a senior, if I was Steve, and I asked you, okay, we're going to think about it, but hey, Henry, what ideas do you have? Okay, sit down and ask yourselves, yeah, okay, if I were Steve, what would I do? What would be the stair-step thing? The big tracks are full-time pastors, full-time missionary, okay, domestic, international. I love God, but I don't want to be a pastor. I love God, but I don't want to be a missionary. I want to get involved somehow. I like kids. I like helping children go to school. They are already existing. The job of leadership is to define them and develop careers, quote-unquote, career or mission paths. You have the bottom-up opportunity. Okay, you're not the top leaders, but you can give a bottom-up point of view. Okay, is that it? Okay. Yes, Lynn. Q&A.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that and the discussion that came out of this group, because I think one thing we were discussing is that exactly what you just said. Our church organization in the States, I remember about 8 years ago, they went through a similar situation where their campus ministers were just all quitting because they do campus ministry they'd go to the school of campus ministry, they'd be campus ministers for a few years, then they realized they don't want to be a campus minister for the rest of their lives, but they saw no other alternative, there was no path presented to them, so they were just quitting and going into the private sector, and so they, you know, were quickly scrambling, trying to, you know, figure out career paths to present to these people. But I think one thing that is also a useful exercise, because we were talking about with Ado, I was saying, you know, like with real life is a very new, it's only, you know, 3 years old, and it's also never been presented as a career path for anybody in Victory. And so sometimes you have to draw out, even in a career path, a path that may not exist yet. Like, we don't have a training school for community development and compassion ministries yet, but I remember when we were, and this applies to this group, like even in an org chart, when you sometimes the tendency is you assign jobs based on the person. Well, Carlos can do this and this and this. Gigi can do this and this and this, as opposed to what job should this be and what should their responsibilities be. And I remember when we were getting our PCNC accreditation, they asked us for an org chart, and we gave them an org chart of our existing organization, which at that time I think was three of us. And then they said, no, this don't give me an org chart of what you currently have. Give us an org chart of what it should be, even if some of those positions don't even exist yet, even if some of those departments don't exist yet. Yep. And you say, in an ideal world, what should our org chart look like? Yep. Which positions and responsibilities and functions do we need? And even if you have to say, this one does not yet exist, or at that time, I was doing three, I was performing three functions, other people were performing two, and then now, 3 years later, I'm starting to hire those positions that we had mapped out 3 years ago. And so sometimes that helps, because even if right now you say, like, okay, we've got these, you know, three positions identified and I'm performing all three of them, but then it also helps to show your boss that, okay, next time when we're growing enough or a budget will allow, this is the next position that needs to be hired, because it puts it on the radar. And then you're working towards that and realizing, like, okay, we need to get to the point where we can start separating these into their proper job functions and then allow you to stay within your lane and then hire the person who can do this one. And then it gets taken off your plate, because otherwise it'll always stay on your plate.
That's excellent. Excellent. Yes. Carlos.
I just whispered to Gigi, when does all of this get done? Because, you know, like right now, I've got so many options in my head of what I'm going to do right after this. But the reality is, after staff dev closes, Ignite takes over. And then there really isn't a time for, I guess the operational component of what we do is so huge as well that sometimes strategic discussions like this really have to get carved out. So I wanted to ask a best practice for an organization for when I know the solution is making time for these discussions, but is there a best practice on how regularly these discussions need to be happening?
Strategic making time is the key phrase, okay? And that is why strategic planning retreats doesn't have to be out of town. It could be right here and we go home every night. Is about absolute minimum is once every 3 years. Absolute minimum, okay, with an annual review. But you are touching on you use the right word, strategic issues that get forgotten in the day-to-day operations. That is why you need to really pause once every 3 years at the very least, and spend a couple of days talking about these things, and then you draw up the issues and the objectives and the action plan, so that during the year you can have in the corporate world you have an operational report, okay, key issues and concerns, results for the month, status of strategic projects. Those are the three components: key issues and concerns, results for the month, status of strategic projects. That way there's a structure that ensures attention to the strategic issues. Okay? Wow. So there's almost always not enough time, but I think that's all we have for now.
Yes, thank you, Alex. We appreciate it. Woo.
Any other questions? We still have 1 minute. Yes, by the way. Oh, question. Sir. Okay, Jeff.
Can mentoring be two-way? Should I always be like a mentor-protege kind of thing? Or let's say, for example, in a local share setting, say, Ganson and I are working together, and let's say I'm mentoring him in some areas of his job, but at the same time, he sees an opportunity where he can mentor me. So
in an area where he is an expert, yes.
Okay.
Right. Definitely. The premise of a mentor is, you know, I have experience and expertise in that area. Good question. All right.
I believe that's it. Next week is our last. Edwin, did you clap? I'm feeling like you ought to do a paper just for clapping. We've got Pastor Manny with us next week. Carlos?
Just so that everybody knows, this room's going to be used for VCIS enrollment. So we're going to be in a case room next week.
Okay. Thank you once again, Alex. You were awesome. God bless you.